Welcome to the gospel meeting. Maybe we could start the meeting this evening by singing number 6. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Could someone start number 6, please?
God in mercy sent his Son.
Speak tonight about heart conditions. They took my grandfather's license away from him years ago. He's with the Lord now. But they took his license away from him because he had a heart condition. He had congestive heart failure. We want to do a heart examination of everyone here in the room tonight. We want to find out what your spiritual health is. And let's go to Genesis chapter 6. We know you can come to the meetings, you can come to the conference, you can sit here in the meetings, you can look like you're listening. And you can fool your friends and maybe your parents about your heart condition. But tonight, you need to be honest with yourself. What is your heart condition? And the first heart condition that we're going to consider tonight is an evil heart. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They had evil hearts. That was their condition. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beasts, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Well, God had created this world. He had put man into this beautiful world, and there was no sin. But it wasn't long before Adam disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And man had sin, was passed down from Adam to his children. And we find that his son Cain killed his brother Abel. And it got worse and worse. Man turned to all sorts of wickedness and violence and sin. And God said, I can't stand it anymore. I'm sorry I ever made man. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And so God sent the flood to destroy man. But God had a way of escape from that flood. There was a man named Noah, and Noah was told by God to build an ark, to build a big boat that all the people and the animals, everyone who wanted to get on that boat, they could get on that boat. There was a way of salvation. Noah, he preached righteousness to all the people, but nobody wanted to hear it. He said, there is a way of escape. Come on the boat with me, and God will save you from this, the flood waters. But nobody listened. Nobody but Noah's family. So only 8 people got on the boat, and 8 people were saved. There was a way of salvation. In Genesis 8, verse 21, we find that after there is salvation, there was worship. And it says in chapter 8, verse 21, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I smite any more everything living as I have done. And so God preserved mankind. And it says here that the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That's because Noah, he took of the animals that he had brought on the ark with him. And some of them, and they all came off. And he took some of those animals and he offered them up as a sacrifice to God. And the blood was shed there at the altar. And it went up to God. And it was a sweet savor to God, a sweet smelling savor of worship to the Lord. Reminding God that one day Jesus was going to come into this world to be the Savior of sinners. And that is your problem tonight, is because you are a sinner and there is danger ahead for you. There is a flood, only it's not a flood of water for you. It's a flood of eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And there's no way out of that except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus has come into this world and died on the cross in order to prepare a way for you to be saved, a way of salvation. And why does God want to save you? Why should He save you? Because He wants you to be a worshiper. He wants you to be giving glory to the Lord Jesus. Well, the heart of man is evil, but the heart of God, the heart of God is goodness that's reaching down to preserve mankind. See, God, He will have a people for Himself. And He wants people to worship Him. And that is why we have the gospel meeting tonight. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be a worshiper of Him tonight and to give glory to God. And so the opportunity is still here for you to be saved. We hear a lot about global warming. It's going to destroy the earth. And people are worried. And they try to do a lot of things to preserve the ecology. But in verse 22 of our chapter, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." You see, the goodness of God maintains the universe. This is the world that He made with His hands. And with the word of His mouth, He sustains your life. You sit here and you breathe. You breathe in, you breathe out. You breathe in, you breathe out. How can you do that? It's God Himself who sustains you so that you have life. And so that you can think. And so that you can breathe. And so that you can hear the gospel. God says, "Hear, and your soul shall live." Hear the message tonight. Yes, most of you in this room have heard the gospel many times, but just hearing it doesn't save you. When God says hear, He means it has to go in through your ear and down to your heart, and to believe what God has said. Believe. I don't want to bring levity in the gospel meeting, but there was a comic strip about Hagar the horrible. And King Hagar's right-hand man, he notified Hagar, and he comes running in and says, "The peasants are revolting." And Hagar says, "They sure are." The next heart condition I want to speak of is a revolting heart. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5, and he speaks about a revolting heart. Jeremiah chapter 5. And Jeremiah speaks about a revolting heart. He says this, and this may be what your condition is your heart condition a revolting heart? And so God says this, "But these people," verse 23, "these people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." Hagar had gotten the meaning of revolting mixed up. But I don't want you to get your heart condition mixed up tonight. I want you to know what your heart condition is. Is your life revolting to the heart of God? Is that your problem tonight, that you have a revolting heart? God commands you to repent. He commands you to believe. But you have refused. Up to now, you have refused. You've revolted against God. Well, maybe you look around this world and you see the havoc that is caused in people's lives. Different experiences and things happen in people's lives. And we see the trauma that's caused and the injustice in the world. And you say, "Well, if there is a God, why is there all this sorrow and this sadness and this sickness?" But you know, you have been fooled by the devil. This world has rejected God. This world has crucified Him on the cross. And they said, "Away with Him. We don't want Him. Crucify Him." And so this world, they chose Satan. And now Satan is the god of this world. There are two gods that you have to contend with in this world. Two gods that you have to contend with in your life. It's Jesus and Satan. Jesus is the true God. Satan is a fake God. Satan is an angel of light. He tells you nice things. He tells you even Christian things, but he twists the truth and turns it into iniquity and sin and makes you believe him. Satan blames all the bad things that happens. He blames it on God. But really, really it's Satan who wants to destroy you. It's Satan who wants to take you down to hell. And it's Satan that does not want you to be saved. He does not want you to give glory to God. Jesus, He died on the cross for you. And He made a way for you to escape the terrors of hell and to avoid the influence of Satan. But you ignore God. You ignore God as if He does not exist. And you believe the lies of Satan. Well, you are deceiving yourselves. And you are revolting against God. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. And this brings us to our next heart condition. The condition of this heart is a deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And this is explaining your heart tonight. This is what your heart is like. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When you turn against God, when you close your ears so you don't have to hear the gospel message, you're deceiving yourself. When you listen to Satan and you believe what the lies that he tells you, you're deceiving yourself, your family, your friends, maybe those in the assembly. They can all see what your values are. They can see your actions. They know what you value. They can see that you miss a lot of meetings because you do not love the Lord Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you. I'm afraid that you are a fake. And it's evident in your life. You are like Judas. Judas lived a life of pretend. You know, Judas's father, his name was Simon the leper. And Simon was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. And Simon invited the Lord Jesus into his house not too long before Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. Now perhaps that invitation was part of the conspiracy against the Lord. We don't know what the motive was for why Simon invited the Lord Jesus to come to his house. But we do know that the Lord Jesus went to Simon's house. And the Lord Jesus, He socialized with publicans and sinners. He socialized with prostitutes and Pharisees. The gospel goes out to whosoever will. The gospel goes out to you. You are in this room tonight. You are part of whosoever. It's not just that guy down the street who you know is wicked and does bad things. It means you too. You are whosoever. And the gospel goes out to you. What is your motive for coming to this gospel meeting tonight? Some of you, you want to be here. You want to hear the gospel shared with others. Some of you are here because your parents make you come. Some of you have been invited. You don't know what this is all about. And you want to know, what is this about Jesus? Who is Jesus? What is your motive for coming to the gospel meeting tonight? Are you deceiving yourself like Judas? Are you pretending to be interested, but secretly you're despising the goodness of God? And you are rejecting the grace of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. It may be that your problem is pride. This brings us to our next heart condition, a proud heart. Maybe your problem is that you are proud. You are selfish. You do not live for God. You live for yourself. And in pride, you set yourself above the Word of God and you do your own thing. Perhaps work is more important to you than the things of God. Maybe the videos and the internet and sports replace the meeting nights. You will not get away with your selfish pride. God says here in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5, He says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." When we think too much of ourselves and we become selfish, that's a result of pride in our hearts. And we're not going to be unpunished. We will experience punishment for our pride. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. God will punish you for your abominable and proud heart, and for your unbelieving heart. Is that your heart condition tonight? Proud? Proud heart? Don't reject the Savior. Don't reject Him any longer. Come to Jesus now, because the longer you revolt against the love of God, the harder your heart is going to become. And if you harden your heart tonight, you may lose your chance to be saved. And it may be that God will harden your heart, and you will never be able to be saved. And Satan will make you, and you will be made to believe a lie. And you will believe more of the lies of Satan. And you'll blame him for everything that goes wrong. You will think that you're okay without God. You don't need all this Christian stuff. It's a bunch of nonsense. You think you have nothing to worry about. Well, you could end up like Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 10, verse 20 talks about Pharaoh. Exodus 10, verse 20. And here we see that Pharaoh had a proud heart, and he revolted against God one too many times. And so what did God do? Exodus 10:20 says, "The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children go." The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so he would not do the will of God. Well, the will of God for you tonight is that you believe on the Lord Jesus. The will of God for you tonight is that you'll be saved. But if you refuse, if you reject, if you harden your heart against the Word of God, God may end up hardening your heart so you cannot believe. And you'll go through life always rejecting Jesus. And you'll become bitter towards God. And you'll hate Christians. Maybe you are developing an adamantine shell around your heart that makes it too hard to break open. You need to have a broken heart, because without repentance and without a broken heart, you cannot be saved. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 brings us to our next heart condition, and that is a broken heart. Psalm 34, verse 18. And it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Contrite means crushed. Maybe your spirit is crushed because of some traumatic things that have happened in your life, and you experience a broken heart. Broken hearts come from physical or emotional trauma. And broken hearts can affect both believers and unbelievers. Well, I don't know what has broken your heart tonight. But maybe it's because you've broken up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Maybe your parents have been divorced. Maybe your dad beats your mother. Maybe a loved one has died and you feel cheated by God. Maybe someone here is facing financial ruin. Or maybe you were abused as a young person. And now the memories that you have buried within your soul are starting to surface, and they're troubling you. And they're causing you deep depression. And maybe you have anger and bitterness in your soul. There's so many things that break our hearts. What is breaking your heart tonight? The Lord, He wants to heal your broken heart. And so how do we deal with the trauma of such a broken heart? If you want to be saved and you believe in the Lord Jesus and you believe that He is God and you believe that He is the Savior, then you will have a resource for your soul that can help you with your broken heart. Because God has given to the believer the privilege of being a member of the body of Christ. And we each have the responsibility of having the same care for one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't turn your eyes away from the helpless. Don't turn your eyes and your hearts away from those who are suffering from a broken heart. When other people have hurt us, or they fall short of our expectations, we need to choose in our hearts, we need to choose to show them grace instead of judgment. And there's a verse in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We need to show people grace. And I think grace can be defined as mercy and favor and pardon. Jesus showed you and me, He showed us grace rather than judgment. The Lord Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. And He paid the penalty for your sins if you'll only accept it. He took the punishment that we deserved. And here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." If you continue to think that it's your responsibility to judge that person who offended you or perhaps abused you, it will be more grief coming back on you than what your soul can really handle. You need to trust the Lord to examine the heart and the motives of those who may have hurt you, and leave all the judgment to the Lord Jesus. And you'll find that if you let go of this responsibility, that it will be very, very freeing or liberating, and it will allow God to fully heal and restore your heart. And so, if you live alone with these buried memories and the subsequent anger and bitterness of soul, it's going to break your heart. Let's go to Psalm 147. There's another thing that breaks a heart, and that is when we have sorrow about our sin that we've committed against the Lord. If you are an unbeliever, you might be searching for freedom from the guilt of your sin. And if this is the heart condition that we look for, one that is a broken heart, broken with their sin, with the conviction of sin in your heart. And so a broken heart means that you're sorry for your sin against God. And you feel bad that Jesus had to die on the cross because of your sin, and that He had to suffer there and take the punishment that you deserve. And even if you have only done one little sin, maybe you say, I haven't done such bad things. You've only done a little sin. Well, the Lord Jesus had to die even for that little sin. Jesus had to die for you. And in Psalm 147 and verse 3, it says, He heals the broken in heart. Oh, friends, tonight, the Lord Jesus wants to heal your broken heart. If you have if you understand that you are a sinner, and that it's your sin that's dragging you down to hell, it's not God, it's your sin. It's your sin that's dragging you down to hell. Well, the Lord Jesus, He wants to heal that broken heart tonight. Are you ready to be saved? Now is the time. Now is the time to be saved. Last week we had 10 days of camp up in Michigan on a lake up there. And we had about 150 to 200 people there for part of the time. And while we were there, Becky Van Holstein was the cook there at the camp. And her son, Mike, he was driving his motorcycle. And he's driving along the road through and went through an intersection. And a car at the stop sign didn't see him and pulled out in front of him. And he put the bike down and it slid. And he slammed into that car. And immediately, Mike was dead. Mike could not stop. It happened so fast. Mike could not avoid death. There are many tears shed at Michigan camp that day. Don't wait any longer. You have no promise of tomorrow. Come to Jesus right now. You can be saved tonight. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, speaking about God, says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has made everything beautiful in His time. When the Japanese, when they mend objects, say like a bowl that is cracked and broken or a cup, they like to exaggerate or magnify the damage by filling the cracks and repairing the broken object to fill the cracks with gold. And so it makes it evident that there's an obvious change from the original condition. And they believe that when something has suffered damage and has a history, it makes it beautiful. I think that's a beautiful analogy for what God does with our brokenness. You may be broken in your heart about your sin, or maybe difficult times in your life. Bring all your cares, bring all your worries to the one who has the power to heal your broken heart. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we're told to put all your worries, put all your fears, and all your brokenness on the Lord Jesus. Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. The Lord Jesus cares about you. Jesus is in the process of making you beautiful. And He wants to heal your broken heart. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And our next heart condition is a slow heart. Maybe you have a slow heart tonight. Luke 24 and verse 25, God warns you not to be slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It may be that you have been raised in a Christian home and you are almost persuaded to be a Christian, but not yet. Up to now you have refused. You are too busy enjoying life. And you have, up to now, you've rejected Christ, the Savior of sinners. You are slow of heart to believe. And each and every time you refuse to be saved, the fires of hell are being turned up and heated up a little bit more and a little bit more. And each time until hell will receive you into the jaws of death and damnation. John 3:18, it says that he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. You're condemned already because you don't believe. And John 3:36 says, he that believes not the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. If you do not believe, death, judgment, damnation, and hell is in the future for you. Don't be slow of heart to believe all the words of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Romans 10 brings us to our next heart condition. And this is a believing heart. Don't be slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And the prophet and evangelist tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not perish. That's what we find in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but you will have everlasting life. For this heart condition, you need to have a believing heart. Salvation does not come from something you do, something you achieve, or money that you give. Salvation comes from believing. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, it says, whosoever believes in Jesus shall receive remission of sins. Do you want forgiveness for your sins? You can be forgiven tonight. You can go home with the peace of God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and this brings us to another heart condition. And this is a pricked heart. A pricked heart. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching. And he says in verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice that Peter does not say here to believe. It's because they had already believed. In this verse, Peter means that you need to repent and separate yourself from your selfish desires, and to separate yourself from your self-righteousness, and to separate yourself from your connections with the world and from your abominable pride. Believe and repent. Believe and repent always go together towards salvation. You might say, I believe. But if you have not repented, you're not saved. And if you have repented and you do good works, but you don't believe, you're not saved. There needs to be believing and repenting. They go together. Your heart needs to be pricked And you need to repent and turn away from your selfishness, from your sin. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and here we have reasoning hearts. These people were reasoning and talking against the Lord Jesus about what the Lord Jesus had said. And they were reasoning in their hearts. And I'm going to read this story. It'll just take a couple minutes. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was borne or carried by four people. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, or all the people, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why do you reason these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up your bed, and go your way into thine own house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Or they said, We've never seen anything like this before. And so these people, they had reasoning hearts. They could see what Jesus did. They could hear what he said. The Lord Jesus said to the man, Your sins are forgiven you. And they reasoned in their hearts. They did not believe. They did not have faith. They did not believe that Jesus could forgive sins. Who is this man? They did not believe that Jesus was God. They did not believe he had power to forgive sins. But Jesus is God. Jesus is God, and Jesus does have power to forgive sins. Maybe you think that you are so bad that God doesn't want you, that he couldn't possibly pay for your sins and to forgive your sins. Well, the Lord Jesus does have power. He has power to forgive sins. And so Jesus is God. You must believe that. You must believe that Jesus has power to forgive your sins. And if you do not believe that Jesus is God, you can't be saved. Secondly, you must believe that Jesus did the work on the cross so that you could be saved, so that you could have your sins forgiven, and that through his death on the cross and through his shed blood, and that he was raised from the dead, and he's in heaven tonight. Believe, and you will be saved. Ephesians chapter 1. We have another verse. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. And this is saying in Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, In Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So you must believe that Jesus is God. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross, and that he shed his blood, and that he rose again from the dead, and that he has completed the work so that you can be saved. Believe that while Jesus was on the cross, he took the punishment for your sins. All the judgment of God against your sin was put on Jesus. And Jesus was punished for those sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Even the sins that you haven't committed yet, the Lord knows them. He's put them on Jesus, and He was punished for your sins. There's nothing more that you can do to be saved. Nothing that you can do to help Jesus to save you. The work is done. All you have to do is believe. We have another heart condition in Psalm chapter 51. And verse 10, and this is a clean heart. God wants to give you a clean heart. And Psalm 51, verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, some people ask Jesus to come into their heart, but Jesus cannot come into your life unless you have a clean heart. There's a little 3-year-old boy. He was at camp. And about 6 months ago, his mother told me that the little boy was thinking about Jesus and about his heart. And he asked her, "If Jesus comes into my heart, will it hurt?" And the little boy is thinking, 3 years old. We sing that song, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 can enter into heaven through Christ. The open door. Well, at camp this year, this little boy, three and a half years old, and during the children's hour, he heard the story of David and Goliath, and it was acted out. And he was afraid of Goliath, and he did not want to come back the next morning to children's hour because he was afraid of Goliath. And they had to tell him, explain to him that David killed Goliath, and so Goliath wouldn't be there that day. And so he agreed that he would come to the Bible hour. Well, there were things that this little boy was afraid of. There were some other things too. And they sang the song about brave Gideon, that Gideon had the Lord with him. And the 3-year-old boy was thinking about that. And he connected the dots. And he decided that David and Gideon, they weren't afraid because they had the Lord with them. And he came to his mother and said to his mother, "I want to be saved. I want to have the Lord with me because I don't want to be afraid." That little 3-year-old was saved by faith in the Lord Jesus. And that is how you can get a clean heart tonight. That is how you can be saved tonight. Come to the Lord Jesus. You can get a clean heart and you can be free from your worries. You can be free from your fears. You can be free from your broken heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you'll have a clean heart within you. And then you can enter into fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. You need to believe and repent so that you can come into salvation. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." We can enter into salvation through the Lord Jesus. After you are saved, Jesus will come knocking. Jesus will come knocking on the door of your soul so he can come into your life and to have communion with you and so that you can have communion with him. You see, the Lord Jesus wants to be your friend. Do you want to be Jesus' friend? If you want to be Jesus' friend, please come and talk to me after the meeting. I'll be around here for a little while. And I can talk to you, or maybe someone else can talk to you about being saved. In closing, let's sing number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ
Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness, now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me, shedding His blood for my ransom, this is the Savior for me. Now I can say I am pardoned,
I am justified free, saved by my blessed Redeemer. This is the Savior for me.
Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me. This is the Savior for me.
Just as I was, He received me,
seeking from judgment to flee. Now there is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me. This is the Savior for me.
Loved with a love that's unchanging, blessed with a blessing so free, how shall I tell out His praises? This is the Savior for me.
Sinners, Savior of sinners like me, shedding His blood for my ransom, this is the Savior.